Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show. We like to call it the fastest half hour on radio, one of the most informative radio programs in all of radio. Here at the Good Fight Radio Show, we learn to discern the difference between good and evil, light and darkness, right and wrong, and discover God's will for our lives. We've been in a series regarding celebrating Christmas. There's a lot of confusion this time of year with some Christians, and many are confused because the Jehovah's Witnesses come to their door and say, hey, it's wrong to celebrate Christmas. And the Jehovah's Witnesses used to celebrate Christmas. They used to use a cross. They used to do things that were, you know, like a lot of Christians, although they have always been a cult from their inception, having a different Jesus, although they label Christmas as creature worship because they claimed, hey, you're worshiping Jesus and he's a creature, he's the Archangel Michael, you can't worship Jesus. And the first two shows combated the strongest allegation against celebrating Christmas, and that's claiming it's idolatry, the worship of Jesus as God when he's not, supposedly. And we looked at all these scriptures where they were actually worshiping Jesus when he was born. And God says in Hebrews 1:6, when he brings a son into the world, let all the angels of God worship him. And the wise men, after he was born, came to him. Eventually, they made their way to him and they worshiped him. They came to worship, it says in Matthew 2. And he's called Mighty God, and Emmanuel would be born, God with us. So we just totally debunked that. And last message I did, as well as this one, we're looking at objections that other Christians have that are our blood-bought, born-again brothers and sisters as to why, you know, Christmas shouldn't be celebrated. And there are Christians that hold that viewpoint. And in the name of bringing greater understanding to this day and trying to get away from the confusion and the disunity among some of the believers, hey, let's take a closer look at some of those allegations, because some Christians are being condemned by others because they celebrate the fact that Jesus came to the world and was born. But sometimes, actually, probably in most cases, believers that condemn the celebration of Christmas are quite sincere, and they're trying to please God as well. You know, one person wakes up Christmas morning and they're excited about the fact that Jesus came to the world, and they're celebrating him, and there's gifts, and there's, you know, food and fellowship and Christmas carols and Christmas songs, singing about Jesus, and Christmas decorations like a tree and what have you. And they're all excited. They love Jesus. And they're just simply decorations to worship Jesus. That's what's in their heart. That's their motivation. And God looks at the heart. However, somebody else wakes up and they equally want to glorify Jesus. And they say, no, you know what? It's pagan. You know, the Christmas tree is pagan, and Christmas is pagan and what have you. And well, let's look at the issues here. I want to look at some of the other issues regarding Christmas. And we looked at some of the questions regarding Christmas that Christians have last week. But I want to dig a little bit deeper. For instance, the allegation that the Christmas tree is pagan usually comes from Jeremiah 10:3-5. At least that's what people think it's saying. And it says this in Jeremiah 10:3-5. And when you look at this passage, it couldn't seem like that at first. However, keep in mind, Jesus wasn't even born yet. People weren't celebrating Christmas and worshiping idols and what have you at this time, for sure, because Jesus would be born for many years later. However, the passage says this: for the practices of the peoples are worthless. They cut a tree out of the forest, and a craftsman shapes it with his chisel. They adorn it with silver and gold, and they fasten it with a hammer and nails so it will not totter. Like a scarecrow in a cucumber field, their idols cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot walk. Do not fear them. They can do no harm, nor can they do any good. So many have used this passage right here, Jeremiah 10, to bludgeon people that have a Christmas tree as though they're committing some form of idolatry, because Jeremiah chapter 10 is talking about a Christmas tree. Again, he couldn't have been talking about a Christmas tree because Jesus hadn't been born yet. Nobody was celebrating Christmas. However, let's look at this. Is Jeremiah talking about just taking a tree into your home as a decoration to celebrate some holiday? Or is he talking about actual idol worship where people are crafting idols, which is far different? Jeremiah is not talking about taking a tree and decorating it in your home as a mere decoration for a holiday to worship the true God. It's just a simple decoration. He's talking about actually bowing down and worshiping something that's been formed into a false god, an idol, not a Christmas tree. In fact, let's look at it a little bit closer. We just read that it was chiseled. It's carved. It's you don't chisel your Christmas tree. In fact, verse 9 goes on to say, "What the craftsmen and goldsmiths have made is then dressed in blue and purple, all made by skilled workers." You don't have a bunch of skilled workers to get together to form a Christmas tree into an idol. Obviously, he's talking about using a chisel and skilled workers making an idol to be worshipped, not simply cutting down a tree as a decoration. In fact, verse 14 says, "The images he makes are a fraud. They have no breath in them." In other words, these are supposed to be gods that they're making. And Jeremiah is telling us by the Spirit of God that they're frauds. They're not really gods, even though they may, you know, look like a personage, an entity, because it's been chiseled to look like a god. There's no breath in them. It's a fraud. Who looks at a Christmas tree and says, "Oh, well, even though it looks like a god, it's not one"? No, it's just a tree. It's just a decoration. In fact, the scriptures go on to say that, you know, the idols that Jeremiah is talking about, he says that, you know, they can't walk. They can't talk, implying that they have formed mouths and legs upon these idols, and they can't use them. In fact, Psalm 135, verses 15 through 18 says this, "The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths." A lot like Jeremiah, isn't it? "Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them." Folks, it's real clear that Jeremiah in the Bible is warned against idolatry, taking a tree from the forest, chiseling it, giving it eyes and legs and a mouth, but it has no breath, can't see, can't hear, can't walk, can't talk. Don't be afraid of it. He's not talking about a tree that's cut down and decorated to celebrate Jesus' birth. And I think it's really, really sad that many people have been brought under condemnation, and that there's people condemning people that are simply using a tree as a decoration to worship Jesus and calling it idolatry. Now, what about the origin of the Christmas tree? You know what's crazy about when you read about the origin of the Christmas tree is they really don't know. I've read several histories of the Christmas tree, and what I found in reading the histories of the Christmas tree is nobody knows. We don't have really strong documentation or videotape of some pagan saying, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to take a Christmas tree. I'm going to take an evergreen tree into my house and begin to worship it and call it God." Well, if a pagan did do that, that would not be the origins of the Christmas tree, because that would not be a Christian. That would be a pagan. Now, a Christian takes a tree in as a decoration to put gifts under, as an ornament to celebrate Christ's birth. That would be the origin, the best way you can understand the origin of the Christmas tree. That's how Christians celebrate it today. And if some Christian fell into paganism in the past, that would be his problem. That would be really sad. But that's not what Christians are doing today. That's for sure. I've read so many different histories. For instance, according to one history, a very popular history, is that Boniface the missionary in the 8th century, who tried to import Catholicism to Germany, introduced the Christmas tree to the pagans to get them away from pagan worship. Well, you know what? When you read his history, the histories that were written near his time and after, there's no mention of anything like that. It wasn't until much later that history comes in, and it's not documented. We don't have any documentation of that. The History Channel states that in the 16th century, the Protestant Christian reformer Martin Luther first added lighted candles to a tree. After the Protestant Reformation, houses of in Germany, Protestant families, they had a counterpart. The way they would counter the Catholic imagery used in the manger scene was to use Christmas trees. There's all these different histories of how the Christmas tree originated. One thing we can know for sure, whatever Christians were bringing that tree in just as a symbol of, as a decoration, to worship Jesus and not worship the tree, obviously we're not committing paganism. And that's what's happening today. But I notice that sometimes people who, you know, want to make it paganism, they try to look kind of any kind of pagan association they can draw a line to and say, "Oh, that's where it started." And they just jump on the bandwagon without any strong historical evidence. Others, however, Christians say, "No, it had to have started right here with Martin Luther." What I'm doing is saying, hey, you know what? It's kind of, we don't really know exactly how it originated. What God looks at is a heart, and if you use it as a decoration, that's one thing. Another history is that it was the paradise tree, an evergreen tree which was hung with different fruit like apples and what have you to celebrate the tree of life, celebrate the fact that God brought life into the world on Christ's birth. The tree of life, the Garden of Eden, there again in Revelation chapter 22, we see that we have access to the tree of life, and that since it was an evergreen tree and it was cold and dead in the winter, the evergreen tree was still alive, that Christians would bring it in to celebrate the fact that life had come to the world as a pointer to, hey, Jesus was born on this day. And it's very likely, it's very possible that happened. And that was the motivation. I don't know for sure. because I'm reading all these different histories and I've got to be honest and say, hey, you know what? There's a lot of different histories about the Christmas tree. And really, we don't know exactly who the first Christians were that brought them in. We do know that Luther was doing it. We do know that Christian Germans were using the Christmas tree as a symbol. And as far as we know, that's not a bad thing. Again, if a pagan brought it in, or a Christian brought one in and began worshiping the tree as some pagan god, we wouldn't even call that a Christian. We'd call him a pagan. I had a Mennonite brother I knew many, many years ago who's moved on, but he didn't like Christmas at all. And he didn't like the Christmas tree, but one day he admitted to me, he said, hey, Joe, if it's just a decoration, though, that people have in their house and they're not actually worshiping the tree, he said, I have to admit, I have to eat crow because that's what's in their heart. And amen, amen. If you are condemning Christmas trees, but you have to admit that people are just using it as a decoration, not worshiping it, as this Mennonite brother said, he had to eat crow. And that's in fact what's going on with Christians. I don't know one Christian brother or sister who bows down before a Christmas tree and worships it and looks at it as their God who made them, their God who they have to answer to. It's ridiculous to say that people are committing idolatry because they have a Christmas tree. Now, you could say, well, hey, you know what? But since some pagans had worshipped trees in the past, you know, therefore to have a Christmas tree in your house as decoration is somehow pagan, is a very, very weak argument. In fact, in ancient times, in the time of Moses, there were pagans who had special buildings, special temples to worship their pagan gods, and they had sacred rooms. However, Moses, when the tabernacle was built, there was a sacred room to worship God. Are we going to say because there's a similarity that that's paganism and that the worship of Yahweh is pagan? Absolutely not. Don't say the similarity is compromised when the motivation and the God who's being worshiped is totally different than the pagan gods who are being worshiped and nobody's actually worshiping the Christmas tree. In fact, Moses condemned the setting up of pillars to worship and honor false gods. He condemns the setting up of pillars to worship false gods. However, Moses himself set up pillars to worship God before the sacrifices that he offered to Yahweh. So are we going to say, hey, Moses condemns the setting up of pillars to false gods? Oh, yeah. Whoa, look, he set up pillars. He's committing paganism. No, we're going to say, hey, why is Moses doing that? He's honoring the true God with pillars. Folks, be honest with the evidence here. If somebody has a tree in honor of Jesus Christ and says, hey, this celebrates life in the time of winter, an evergreen tree that Jesus was born so many years ago and came into the world, and they're celebrating him as their Savior and their Redeemer, praise God. You can't say a word, just like you can't say something about Moses because he set up pillars to worship the true God because he condemned pagans for doing it to false gods. Well, folks, we're in the middle of part four in our series on whether or not Christians can celebrate Christmas, and I'll see you in about 30 seconds right after the break.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
Hey, welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show, where we are looking at the subject of Christmas and whether or not Christians can celebrate Christmas. And this is our fourth installment because every year Good Fight gets a lot of emails about this question and what have you. And we figured, hey, there's got to be a ton of people going through questions like this. And rather than answering this emails over and over again, we thought, you know, let's do an in-depth series on this, and we believe you can celebrate Christmas. There are definitely some pagan trappings you have to watch out for. In fact, we're going to be talking about those in the last installment, but we're looking at things like a Christmas tree and whether or not that's pagan, and we just talked about how Moses condemned the setting up of pillars to false gods. However, Moses also set up pillars to worship the true God before his sacrifice, and would we say, hey, well, you condemn pillars are so it's with paganism, he set up a pillar. No, he set up a pillar to worship, to point to Yahweh. If Christians are setting up, are bringing in a tree as a symbol of the fact that, you know, Jesus died on a tree or that he gave his life on a tree or as a symbol of life that during the cold of winter, they're celebrating the fact that Jesus came into the world, celebrating his birth into the world and what have you. It's a totally different issue. And just like you can't condemn, if you're going to condemn Christians for having a Christmas tree, then you're going to have to condemn Moses for having a pillar during his worship. Now, it's interesting because some say, oh, well, the star on the tree, that's got to be pagan. That's worshiping a star god or a planetary god or what have you. Folks, most people that put stars in the tree is just a decoration. For many people, it symbolizes the Star of Bethlehem that led the wise men to Jesus. And that's all in their hearts. And is God going to look at someone's heart who says, wow, you know, I'm going to put a star to remind me Christmas morning that Jesus was worshipped and that it led the wise men to worship him eventually. And brothers and sisters, God's going to look at that heart. And if their motivation is to worship God and it's just a symbol of the Star of Bethlehem, God is not going to condemn them. In fact, in my house, I don't use a star. We put up a Christmas tree, and for years and years and years and years, I think since the beginning in my home, we put up a crown of thorns, because Peter tells us that Jesus was crucified on a tree, and we set up our tree, and then boom, on that tree, there's a crown of thorns, and it's a picture of the cross for us, that Jesus was crucified on a tree. In fact, for us, it's a beautiful symbol of Christ's death. Now, folks, if you found pagans in the past, pagans have worshipped everything in the past. You can probably find pagans who worship crosses. Does that mean that we shouldn't use the cross as a symbol of what Christ did for us, and it's pagan somehow? Absolutely not. Does that mean when Paul talks about those who are enemies of the cross, that Paul shouldn't have been talking about the cross as though it's a beautiful symbol as to what God's done for us? Absolutely not. It doesn't matter what people have done in the past. God looks at your heart, and if you're using something as simply as a decoration, and it's simply something taken out of the forest that you haven't fashioned to God, it's just a tree, and it's just a decoration, God looks at the heart. That's not paganism. Now, some object and say, hey, you shouldn't even use the word Christmas, you know, because there's some kind of pagan tie-in with that word. And it's interesting, these same folks who condemn Christmas and say there's some kind of, you know, pagan association and what have you, and you're worshiping false gods by celebrating Christmas, which we've seen and totally debunked as false. These same folks use the names of the days of the week. Pretty much all of them that I've heard. In fact, did you know all the days of the week pretty much are named after pagan gods? In fact, not pretty much. All the days of the week except one are named after pagan, German, you know, pagan gods, Norse gods, and, you know, Scandinavian false gods. And that's a fact. In fact, it's interesting because the English language is a Germanic language. The Germans are the ones that went from northern Germany to England and settled what is today known as England. That's why the Celts around them, whether it's the Scottish or the Welsh or the Irish are all around them, have a different background and different types of music and what have you, where the English are actually Germanic. And Old English is basically German, and we speak English, which is a Germanic language. And Sunday was Sunendag, and that was Sunendag. That was their day, their Sunday. And that was really sun's day, the worship of the sun god. Monday was Monendag. That was Moni was the moon god. And the Germans worshipped Moni on, guess what? They named it after Monday, after the moon god. Tuesday, it was Tuesdag. And it's interesting because it became Tisday and it became Tuesday. It was a one-handed god associated with single combat and pledges in Norse mythology, German mythology. Wednesday, Old English, Woden's Day, or Odin's Day, was the German god Woden. The Norse Germanic peoples had worshipped, and that day was named after, the pagan god Woden, or Odin. Thursday, Old English again, Old German really, Thursday, god of thunder. Thursday, the god of thunder, German, another German god. So when you say Thursday, are you worshipping Thor? Absolutely not. Friday, another old German word or old English Germanic word, Friedendag. And that's interesting because Frieden was a reference to Venus, and the Germans, second, third century, were worshiping, before the advent of the Christian faith in Germany, were worshiping this god as well, another Norse goddess. That's actually a Norse goddess. Now, does that mean when you say Friday that you're worshiping this German goddess? I'm asking an important question, because if you think you can't say Christmas because you'd be somehow associated with a false god, or use a Christmas tree because it was some kind of association with paganism in the past because pagans worshipped trees, then you can't even say the days of the week because they're associated with false gods. But they don't have those meanings today, folks. And that's not what is in anybody's hearts. And therefore, if you're going to draw such sketchy parallels from the past and say, hey, this is the reason people can't celebrate Christmas, you're also going to say that people can't say the very days of the week. And what about Saturday? Saturday is the only day that's not named after some German pagan god. You say, oh, good, I'm not going to say all the other days, but I can say Saturday. No, you can't. Not if you're going to take that belief, because guess what? That's the name of a Roman god, a pagan Roman god. And it was the worship of the god Saturn, who was associated with Titan or Cronus, the father Zeus, and many other Olympians. So you wouldn't be able to say Saturday either. Folks, What am I doing here? I'm showing you that it's absolutely ridiculous to say that somebody can't celebrate Christ's birth by bringing a tree into their home as a decoration, by saying, hey, there's pagans that worship false gods in the past. In fact, there's more of a tie to these days in the names of false gods, because they're actually tied to false gods, than just simply bringing a tree into your house, which isn't called after a false god. And I want to make another point, folks. You know what? There's holidays in the scripture which we don't read about that were celebrated by the Jews that God commends. Like, for instance, with Purim, Esther, in the days of Esther, we see that that day was established by the Jews as a celebration day as to what God had done. But God never said to celebrate that. It wasn't like the Feast of Passover and many of the other feasts, Pentecost, that God ordained. Yet, it didn't become a bad thing. Hanukkah is another day that was not something that God ordained and said, hey, I want you guys to celebrate Hanukkah. Yet the Jews celebrate Hanukkah the same time Christians celebrate Christmas. But what's interesting about Hanukkah is that Jesus went to Hanukkah. You could read, when you read John chapter 8, 9, and 10, there's an interesting thing going on. Hanukkah is also known as a Feast of Lights because many of the Jews believe that God supernaturally kept oil or kept light burning even though the oil had run out. And they began to celebrate that time because God gave them victory at that time in the time of the Maccabees. And what's interesting is Jesus uses that holiday, the Feast of Lights, even though it's not ordained by God, he goes to the holiday and he actually points to himself as the light of the world. In fact, in John chapter 8, in the run-up before John chapter 10, where he goes to holiday, he heals a blind man. He declares that he is the light of the world, and he that follows him will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And then Jesus goes on to teach, and then before you know it, you follow the narrative, he ends up at the Feast of Lights. There he is. Everybody knows what's going on. He's the one who's claiming to be the light of the world. Here he's come to the Feast of Lights. The light actually ultimately points to Jesus. Now, if Jesus could use a holiday that God did not ordain to point to himself to be the one that's to be the focal point of that holiday, how much more Christmas, a day Christians take out to celebrate his birth in the world, can Christians use as an opportunity to point to Jesus as the light of the world? I encourage you, brothers and sisters, don't be condemned. Don't feel condemned by people who say, hey, it's wrong to celebrate Christmas, as long as what you're doing is celebrating Jesus. As long as, now, if you're bowing down in front of some tree and worshiping and saying, I praise you, oh, evergreen tree, repent of it right now. That would be, you'd be hellbound because idolaters would go to the lake of fire. However, it's a simple symbol in your house to glorify Jesus, and you use symbols that glorify are there to glorify Jesus. Praise God. Now, if you have any pagan symbols in your home that you're using that are paganistic, that are pointing to another God, I encourage you to get rid of them. But if you're worshiping Jesus and you're celebrating him, and it's not a materialistic focus for you, but you're focused on the fact that Jesus came to the world, more power to you. Have a great Christmas day, and praise God. Well, folks, next week will definitely be our last installment on this, but we need to look at some things like Santa. Is it really healthy to teach our kids about Santa Claus and, you know, he's going to come and give them gifts, whether they're good or bad? And is that what God would have us do? Other things that I think we need to be concerned about in regard to what we're teaching our children. And we'll be looking at some other questions next week. We've had four different messages defending Christmas. I'll look at some things that are legitimate concerns that I have with the way the holiday is celebrated by many Christians. So we're going to look at that next week. We want to thank you again for joining us at the Good Fight Radio Show. We look forward to being with you next week. Till then, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your hand on the plow. Press into the faith. And may God bless you richly as you seek his face. God bless.
You've been listening to Pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
Comes down to just one thing.